listening to QOJ. This is NS2K. Sitting in for Gordon right at the moment, Jim. I suppose we could start the TechNet now. In any case, this is NS2K as K2BAR, inviting people to the TechNet for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. And just so everybody knows, Gordon will be in just a few minutes. He's otherwise occupied. A little annoyed, but yeah, more occupied right at the moment. In any case, if there's any emergency traffic or any other traffic critical right at the moment, please come on in. NS2K. Anyway, into QOJ from Arizona. Holy cow. Anyway, we need to talk about Arizona. But I'm not sure if I know your name. Come on back.
Yeah, Jim, you may not remember, but we met a few times at the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club. My name is Joe San Martino. I was a member of the club from 90 or 91. Oh, up until 2006 when I left for Arizona. And I was a trustee and involved in various other things in the club. But I know we've met on a couple of occasions there, but it is going back a while. Back over to you. This is N22OJ.
Excellent, Joe. Very good, very good. I just like it's way too familiar, but hard time placing your name. In any case, very good. Do you have any questions or comments this evening?
No, not at this time, Gordon. I'm sorry, Jim. As I mentioned to Gordon over email last week, my interest in joining the TechNet was to actually glom off you guys. I'm interested in starting a TechNet here in Queen Creek. We've developed quite a bit of a local club and got a 36 new hams over the last couple of months licensed, and I think we're going to be ready for a TechNet of some type soon. So I wanted to just jump in and listen to you folks for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And to QOJ.
Very good, very good. More than happy. And, yeah, congratulations on, and again, getting things going down there. Anyway, do we have anybody else wishing to join the net right at the moment?
K2BAR, KC2OR.
Hey, Robert, any questions or comments right at the moment?
Yeah, one for you, Jim. Are you on Echo Link? Are you on the, you're working strictly off the radio?
Well, at this point, I'm strictly on the radio, but, yeah, obviously, Joe is coming in via the Internet.
Yeah, I understand that because I'm on the Echo Link, and Gordon was on. I can't connect to him, and then all of a sudden his call sign disappeared. So hopefully I'll be able to catch him through the computer. I want to see how this all works out.
Yeah, right at the moment he is not on the air, but he will be shortly. He's got another commitment that he's trying to escape from, but hopefully will momentarily. Okay, very good, Robert. Anybody else?
Jim, by the way, no news yet.
I understand.
KO2OK, good evening.
Evening, Bennett. Any questions or comments up front?
Other than sorry for being late. Back to next.
Oh, not that late. Okay, next participant.
No questions or comments, just wish you a happy new year.
Hey, I got K2JEK, the other station, please.
W2CH, Ray in White Plains. No questions or comments, none of the above. Just wish you a happy new year. Thanks for the net.
Very good. Well, indeed, thank you for participating. And happy new year to you and yours. Gordon, hey, as promised, here you are. We're still taking names, and if you want to take over, I'm more than happy.
Okay, just real quick, who's got questions and comments so far, Jim?
We don't have any right at the moment, so hoping for somebody to come up with a little upfront curiosity.
W2JEK, I have a comment. I think I was doubled.
Very good, Don. I got you. Jim, would you take the rest of the roster, and then I'll take over. I'll just listen. Will you take the roster if you don't mind?
Okie dokie. Okay, who else do we have here?
2AMI, Tony.
Any questions or comments, Tony?
Just a happy new year.
Okay. Anybody else?
W2LC with a question. Name is Rick.
Hey, Rick, I didn't quite get the call sign. Try again.
K2B. This is W2LCN. The name is Rick, and I have a question.
Okay, LCN. W2LCN. Very good, Rick. And I did get the question. Very good. Okay, next.
WE2R, Charlie, no question.
Thank you, Charlie. And next. Okay, we've got them down through WE2R. Okay, if there's anybody else, I'm sure we can join in progress here. Anyway, Gordon, are you ready to pick it up from here?
Sure can. Let's first start off with Don's announcement, please, or comment. W2JEK, and thank you, Jim, for starting up the net. That's much appreciated. W2JEK, K2BAR, W2TTT.
Okay, good evening, K2BAR, net, W2JEK. Again, my announcement for the Barra's DE test session, which will be on January 20th, 7 p.m., that's a Friday night, to the Westwood Regional High School. Just got an email about it today. Some fellow wants to take the tech exam at that night, so we'll be ready to go. And tomorrow night, some fellows from Barra will be at the test session that follows the one-day course that's going to happen tomorrow over in Bergenfield. So that's it, and I'll just say Happy New Year and listen out. W2JK.
Okay, anybody have any comments or questions for Don regarding the Barra testing, which will be in January, or any questions about testing tomorrow night? Alrighty, very good. Thank you, Don. Just to expand a little bit, tomorrow at 8 a.m., we will be running both a technician and a general one-day course or courses. Jim NS2K will be chairing the general course, and I will be chairing the technician course. And then Don will come in with a merry band of examiners and give out exams on tomorrow night, starting at about 7. If anyone's interested in the one-day course tomorrow or coming to the test session, they can email me, w2tangotangotango@awrl.net. That's whiskey 2 triple tango, tangotangotango@awrl.net. Let's see, what else? All right, then I guess, see if there are any questions about that. Okay, I am not on Echolink, so Joe, I know you are, and good to hear you on the net as well from Arizona. If you see something, feel free to jump in. If you see something show up on the commentary for or another station shows up to check in on the net, via Echolink and hasn't had a chance to get a word in edgewise. Alrighty, with that in mind, are there any stations on Echolink who have not yet checked in? K2BAR W2TTT. Okay, I didn't hear anything. Good. All right, W2LCN, Mr. Rick, over to you for your question, sir. K2BAR, W2TTT.
All right, K2BAR, W2LCN. The question really goes back to some of the things you just said. Does anyone else have a question about this test session tomorrow? I am interested. I don't know if it's something that I would be able to pass. I'd like to move up to the general. It's kind of rushed because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go, and I wanted to know, is it still available? Would you recommend it? I don't know that I'm as well prepared as I'd like to be, but I think I'll get more information by sitting around people who know ham radio than if I try to study the book and just go in and pass the test. So can you give me any comments on whether I should attend, whether I shouldn't? I'm going to drop it and send it back over to you. This is W2LCN.net.
Yeah, I think, you know, you framed your own answer with your question. If you're a person who learns by osmosis, then you need to have an opportunity to have osmosis take place. You need the right moisture on the right side of the information barrier and let it ooze its way in. So, sure. It's 29 North Washington Avenue in Bergenfield. 29 North Washington Avenue in Bergenfield in the church basement. Go in the north side and head down the stairs on the north side of the church. It's 8 o'clock. You'll need two forms of ID or a photo ID. You'll need your social security number. You need $15 for the test and $20 for the day.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, we'll need a social because he's got a license. Yeah, so anybody that's upgrading will need to bring their license and a copy of the license. And on that license is an FRN number. There's also a file number, not to be so we don't confuse the two. It's an FRN number, and that's the number that you're going to put in that block up on the upper right side of the 605 form, where you know where you put your social security back when you were a technician. So upgraders should have their FRN number in the cut. I do want to see a copy of their license, and I want to see the original license as well. Back to net, W2JK.
Don, do you need to retain the copy if they are passing?
Say that again.
If they pass, do you need to retain the copy of the license?
Yeah, we send them the copy of the license. If they pass the test, that we do not keep the original, well, we keep the copy.
Okay, and Rick, or anybody else who's listening, if you have trouble making copies, just bring your original. We can make copies during the day. That's not a problem. That we have the technology for that on site. Rick, did we answer your question?
K2BAR W2LCN, yes, I think you did. I think I'd like to try and get over there. I just need to make sure that I can work it out with my wife and the schedule and things like that, but even if I don't pass, I think that just sitting around and, being able to listen and understand what some of the other people are having to say will probably help me when I do, or am more prepared to attend. So I'm going to do my best to try to get over there, but I will send you this in an email right now. But thank you very much. That does answer my question. I'm going to send it back to Net. This is W2LCF.
Okay. W2LCF. Is it Foxtrot or November at the end? I'm sorry, Rick.
November. Whiskey, 2, Lima, Charlie, November.
That's what I heard on your last ID, though. I thought I heard a Foxtrot out of that, and I thought I'd better ask. Okay, very good. Does anybody else have any follow-up questions on tomorrow's classes or just licensing in general? K2BAR, W2TTT. Okay, no worries. All right, with that in mind, let's move on to other topics. Were there other questions for the net that I somehow missed? Alrighty. And my other question is, were there, are there any check-ins? Any further check-ins to the net? Because I do have a topic for the net tonight. Alrighty. Well, we've got a short list tonight. It's a holiday week. It's not surprising. Although we had a really big participation last week, it seems to be somewhat smaller tonight. With the advent of winter, people get some time to operate a bit more. And what's interesting is we're at an odd point in the solar cycle, and we will be probably for the next 2 or 3 years, where 20 meters will be open most of the day, 10 meters will be open most of the day as well, especially increasingly, and yet 80 and 40 will still be good. Even 160 will be good, especially in the winter months. So what's really cool is that you kind of get the, especially in the winter here, you'll get the opportunity to operate both the high frequencies and the low frequencies all at once in a given day. So there'll be plenty of things to do. So I was thinking about that, and one of the things that I managed to accomplish is tossing up a 10-meter vertical ground plane, to gain ground plane, and it was rather nice. But now I'm trying to figure out what I can do in the way of a piece of a compact, antenna for 160 or even just 80 and 40. Currently on 40, I have a Envis antenna, and I also have a 80-40 trapped dipole at 35 feet. But I'm wondering what else I can do to enhance my abilities to get signals going on those lower frequencies in a very small lot. And so I'm thinking other people might have that same requirement.
J2JDK.
Mr. Don, go right ahead.
Okay. How much of a long wire can you put up, assuming it's bent? I gather your shack is on the second floor or third floor of your house. And let's say you go from wherever you are to the back of your yard and then across the backyard. About how long a piece of wire would you be able to put out there for as a long wire kind of thing?
It's a very good question. And if the wire is sloped, I might be able to get 60 feet from the tower. At the tower at the roofline level, maybe a little bit more if I go up the tower a little bit, with a sloper to the west, but it would come down by necessity probably, well, actually it doesn't have to be by necessity. Potentially I could hold the other end of it, just slightly lower, maybe at the 30-foot level, and, then from there, the lot is only about 22 feet to the longest width there. My lot is only 40 feet wide is the problem. So potentially I could go 60 feet off the tower to the rear of the lot, but down quite a bit sloping to the west, go across about 22 feet, and then potentially I could come right back up to about 35 feet on the other side of the house. But it would be essentially 260-foot or so segments separated by a 22-foot segment would be about right. Over.
Yeah, something like a letter U. Yeah, but so it'd be some cancellation there. But you'd say if you had 60 feet and then 22 feet, 22 feet. Well, anything you can load up. Like that would work. I mean, I'm running I have 110 feet long. I have a 110 foot long wire here, and it starts at the cellar window, goes up to the second floor, which is roughly 20 feet, goes out about 60 feet to a tree in the middle of my backyard, and then there's another 30 feet on it that goes across the yard to a 10 foot pole attached. tied to a chain link fence. And that works pretty good on, even on 160. I can, with 5 watts, I've worked Florida and to Canada. And on last night, I was on a milliwatt sprint on 80 meters with 900 milliwatts, worked a guy in Florida with 900 milliwatts. You know, anything you put up there will radiate, and, you just put it out there and load it up and see what happens.
Well, I could take on your 15-foot piece of coax, put a ballon on it, a current ballon, either by snapping a bunch of ferrites on it or taking a, what do you call it, you know, 8 or 10 turns of the coax itself to make a ballon, and then take the semiconductor and put it on a wire, and, you know, come off the tower to the west, and as I said, I could loop it around the house. What is kind of nice, if I want to, is I could also come off the tower across the house, you know, maybe 20-odd feet, again, 22 feet, go down to the west on the other side, and then cut across, and then don't come back up. In other words, the loop doesn't have to be at the same level, but if longer is better, then I could, as I said before, go from the tower to the back of the lot, across the back of the lot, 22 feet, come back up to the roof, and then I could go to the front yard, actually. I have a flagpole in the front yard I could bring that wire to, so it could be a U-shaped wire that's actually more like a J-shaped wire. But I would have to feed it with coax with a current ballon just to get it out of the house. I don't want the bare wire, you know, inside the house. That would just not match very well. Throw RF all over the shack. I don't need that.
No, that's a point. Yeah. Well, basically, what I do with mine, my shack is here in the first floor, and there's a solar window right next to my. Upgrading right below me, almost. So I have a piece of twin lead goes from my tuner to my through my floor here into the cellar, with over to the cellar window where the wire goes out, and there's a wire that goes out to a ground stake in the ground also. And I have a single radial. I have another wire that's connected to a chain link fence. And of course, I have a connection to a cold water pipe in the house as well. So that's part of the system, too, is the ground. So something to think about, too. Back to that W2JK.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds very good. You're also running milliwatts, so that you don't have to worry about setting the house on fire or causing RFI or things like that. So I don't like to bring a single lead wire in a shack. I just, you know, it radiates there, and bad things happen when it radiates. But, yeah, that sounds cool. Now, what I would do with the coax, by the way, is bond it to the tower, let's say, 30-odd or 40-odd feet up, and that would be also a good thing. That's also tied to the ground field below the tower.
And one possibility is both in the tower.
I'm sorry, one possibility is to load the tower? Yeah, but then you got to worry about other things.
I don't have a tower, I never did, so I can't answer any questions about that.
Yeah, well, Jim Joyce pointed out to me that one day that if you're going to load up your tower, you have to be cognizant of the fact that what could happen is that you could end up inducing currents into the coaxes that are on the tower, or the other antennas on the tower, and except that, you know, if you're
I don't know what would happen with 100 watts, but certainly at a kilowatt, you run the risk of damaging things. I am keyed there. Sorry about that. But so you do have to be thoughtful about loading up towers. But even as a counterpoise, I'd have to think about it. But I don't run more than 100 watts anywhere. I just don't have it to run. But that sounds good. And just let the tuner work it out. And if you're lucky, the tuner will be the auto tuner will be able to handle the load. If not, you get a manual tuner and away you go. Now here's a question: if you're doing N-fed wire, plus or minus ground effects and adjacent materials that are metallic and things like that, having a good calculation for the length of that wire probably does matter. So my guess is you want to pick for an N-fed wire probably something like an odd multiple of a quarter wavelength or thereabouts. But there's probably no one magic answer. What you don't want to do is create a high impedance point. Is another station want to say something? Okay, well, basically, you want to think about a reasonable length. And what's interesting is if you have an antenna analyzer, you can actually measure the impedance of the wire at various lengths and either add or subtract wire as you see fit to be more or less resonant where you need it to be in of the appropriate impedance. You're not killing yourself to try to match it. The antenna analyzers are very good for that purpose. So, any other comments from anybody?
KD2AKP connected. KD2AKP.
KD2AKP. Good evening, next sir. You're checking in. Do you have a question or comment for the net tonight? Over.
Good evening, Gordon. No, I don't have any questions or comments right now. Thank you.
Okay, very, very good. Well, feliz Navidad to you, and I hope that your new year is good as well. All right. There are no other comments on this topic. I want to shift gears a little bit to something that was brought to my attention yet again about the use of antenna analyzers. And why would you want to use an antenna analyzer instead of just simply having an SWR bridge? And, that is a good question. Most people, if they get a good SWR at the frequency they need, they're all happy, they're good, they walk away smiling, and everybody's good. That's not a bad way of handling the problem. I have a 1.25 or 1.2 to 1, 1.5 to 1 SWR, I'm going to, say fine. But the other night we were cutting J-poles, and someone pointed out that what you really want to do is take the feed line, tune it to a 50 ohm resistive load, whatever frequency that is, and then trim the antenna to come in the band. Don't move the feed point. Once you have the nominal feed point identified, you set the frequency for whatever 50 ohms is, and you trim the antenna and keep adjusting that frequency until you get on board. You start with an antenna longer than what you need. But by starting with an antenna longer than you need, you can simply just clip and cut your way to the resonant frequency you want and still have a 50 ohm load. So that's a good technique to consider and use. So What we did was, we, for a 2 meter J-pole, we started with, you know, the normal spacing of 1 1/4 from the stub, and then 15 1/4 more to where the J-pole, the J is, if you will, for the short side. And then the overall length of that piece of twin lead was 60 inches, which is way longer than what you need. And we just started lopping off inches and half inches at a time to get to where we wanted using the technique I just described. And that gives you a better match, it gives you a resistive match at the resonant frequency that you want the antenna to work on. So that's all good. Questions or comments on that? Okay, well, the whole point of this is that by having set the analyzer for a resistive load and trimming the antenna to match the requirements at the frequency where you ultimately want to go and still maintaining a resistive load, you know, you've eliminated the reactive components, or most of them, from the antenna, and it will behave more according to the design characteristics than if you're just matching simply for SWR. So those little gizmachi boxes that cost beaucoup bucks to do antenna analysis do have their place, and they do offer more value for their functionality that they offer. All right. I think any comments on this? All right. Well, just for reference, several clubs in the area do have meters, and individuals do as well. I believe Barra has one, Fairlawn has one, has an antenna analyzer. I know several of us individually have them, and they're not cheap toys or tools, but they are useful, and I'm sure, pardon me, with the proper warning arrangements, etc., they can be brought to your location for antenna work, and or possibly borrowed if it's a club one. I don't know what the procedure is for that. It may vary from club to club, but it gives you a high performance analysis tool to optimize your antenna configuration without having to lay out the cash to do it. Privileges of being a member of some of these clubs, which is, as we go to renewal time, it's one of the other things we need to remind ourselves that it's important to support our clubs. And I also want to remind people it's also important to support the ARRL in their efforts to not just advance amateur radio, but also to make sure that those competing interests for our spectrum don't win the day and send us off to some spectral gulag somewhere. Alrighty. I'm just curious if anyone's looked at the propagation forecast on QRZ or elsewhere. Rumor has it that we are expecting a solar flare and some other junk to come and cause disruptions tonight. Has that happened yet, or has anyone noted anything? I noted something on 40 where I just had a high noise level, ridiculously high noise level, on 40 today, late in the afternoon, like mid-afternoon, 3 or 4 o'clock. I was wondering if anyone else noticed that as well. All right, I guess not. All right. So the next topic is the VHF contest, the VHF sweepstakes, more importantly. It is on the second weekend of January, it starts on Saturday at 2 p.m. and ends on Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And it features operations on the bands from 6 meters on up. And it's a lot of fun. There are categories for single band operation, high and low power, and other miscellaneous things, individuals and groups. And I don't know if Tony checked in, but in fact, Tony did check in. Maybe he wants to say a few words about the VHF contest. K2AMI, K2BARW2TTT.
Here's K2AMI. Just a quick comment, Gordon. You spoke about the little gizmo gadgets that MFJ and other companies make to measure your antennas, but don't fail to indicate that a good SWR meter will help indicate. You know, it's a lot less expensive than a gizmo that tells you impedance and many frequencies. An SWR meter and a signal generator, the frequencies you want to use, are also very easy to use and to determine resonance of the antenna at that frequency by measuring low SWR. So I started out using an SWR meter, and I still use it on occasions to determine if I have resonant point. Back to you for comment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But what I was trying to delineate, Tony, was the difference between a simple SWR bridge, which, you know, can take both resistive and reactive components and come up with 50 ohms, even though let's say the resistive impedance could be closer to 70 ohms or more. If you have the right reactive components in the impedance, then it'll look like 50 ohms or close to it, and everything will be happy. But ideally, it's still with a high reactive component, which means the antenna is not going to behave exactly like it was designed. You really have to get that match or that antenna to look like a resistive load in order to maximize its performance. Over.
Well taken. Okay. About the VHF contest. Because of my energy level and the physical stamina that I have exhibited in the last couple of months and the last year or so, I won't be actually participating very intensely in a VHF contest. I do intend to get involved with it. I do intend to operate from my home with K2AMI as a call sign. If anybody from there would like to operate as a K2VAR call sign from their home or from a trip to the mountain, they definitely should just clarify it with some of the authorities and go ahead and do it. It looks like we're going to have a mild week coming up. There's no prediction of heavy storms coming in next week or the second week, but that'll change. I know that traditionally I have noticed that most second weeks in January, the weekend of the 12th, 13th, and so forth, invariably comes up with a hail and a rain and a miserable cold that weekend, but I don't seem to see that happening this year, so we might be able to do something from a mountaintop, but not me. Maybe some other guys. Back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I guess about 3 out of 4 years, the way the third Monday falls, which is Martin Luther King Day, it causes the VHF contest to be in conflict with the U.S. Naval Academy Merit Badge Jamboree. And as of this time, barring anything unforeseen, the plan was to have that Merit Badge Jamboree on the second weekend in January, and I will be going down there to help with Radio Merit Badge. I set it up so that the midshipmen can come in and teach it in round robin form in about 4 hours to a bunch of scouts, and it's quite a production. So we get that done pretty easily, but a lot of work is involved. I drive down on a Friday morning, take Jeremy out of school or whoever among my kids are some age, and a couple other more than a couple of our Boy Scout troop goes. We participate in that. So, if anything, I'll have the opportunity to participate from down there, but very little. I usually end up spending the return trip operating the contest while mobile, and I can assure you I will do that. So that should be fun. I will be a rover, and I'm all set up this year for that. I just have to slap the two or three halos on the vehicle. We're good. I've put a 6-meter, 2-meter, and a 432 halo on my truck, and we'll be good. So, with that in mind, your observations about weather in January are oh so true. Oh my lord. I can't tell you the number of times I've hilltopped. I've gotten, in the old days when there was a QRP portable category, I'd go up on a mountaintop, and I would go up on Friday, and 60% of my efforts were focused on staying alive, and the other 40% were on either putting up antennas, taking down antennas, fixing things, and operating. And it was fun. It was fun, but man, you talk about energy levels. Boy, I would like to think I could still do that. I would probably amend my antenna structures a little bit and the way I put them up. But having said that, it is entirely doable, but it takes a lot more thought and planning and possibly even money in order to get that done. K2 AMI, K2BAR, W2TTT.
We have the Barra meeting on January the 9th, and perhaps that topic will be discussed, and there may be some efforts expressed by the club to participate as a club contest, but I'm just kind of backing down these days. I'm not doing as much operating as I wish I could because of my 3 o'clock nap in the afternoon, among other things. And I just, celebrated my 80th birthday, and I'm just kind of getting old.
Well, my goal, as I told you a couple of weeks ago when we saw each other face to face, is to have your energy level and be 80 years old. Other than my maternal grandmother, nobody lived that long, so I'm hoping that I have those genes. That would be lovely. Hopefully the clean living doesn't hurt either. So, good for you. Now, you're absolutely right. Now, that brings up another question. Maybe, I don't know what the program is for the January 9th meeting, but it might be great to have a little bit of you're talking about show and tell, but show and tell specifically on VHF things that could be, or operator kind of tools that would be useful for a VHF contest. And I'm wondering if anyone's given that some thought, but the other is mentoring another operator during the contest, either over the air or in advance, or even sharing your shack if they don't have the gear. Having someone over for an hour or two and having them get a rhythm of things would be a great way to expand the contesting community. Something to think about as well. So, anybody have any comments or questions on that? It's K2BARW2TTT. Do I hear something? Okay. Well, I think I'll button it up. Tony, do you want to say anything more?
Well, just that neither the president or the vice president of the Barrick organization seem to attend these little nets and don't supply the information as to what's coming in for the next Barrick meeting program. So I have no idea what they're planning or what they're going to be doing. And in fact, they're looking for new programs for next year, the year 2012. So by all means, if you can introduce something that's acceptable, they would like to hear it. 2012, the main thing that's happening in 2012, January, is bringing your dues money in. That's about it. Back to that.
Yeah, a very important point. Absolutely important. Alrighty. That's cool. Alrighty. Probably would be good. I understand, Steve's got some, limitations, but it might be nice if Bruce's schedule will allow to get on and provide that insight. That would be helpful. Or Bob. We haven't heard from Bob on the net in a while, and that'd be kind of good to have a emergency preparedness focus occasionally as well. One of the things that I will point out, VHF contesting or contesting in general does, is it makes you a better operator It also, if you have to take things into the field at all for, let's say, VHF contests, let's say you're a field guy, it also then prepares you to be a better, you know, operator, you know, in under emergency conditions, because you've been hilltopping or either hilltopping or operating portable, and that really does help sharpen your skills, tighten up your station. You know, you might use different modes or different antennas and stuff like that, but the overall activity of taking radio into the field or into a mobile environment, getting it up into a place where there is no communications gear is pretty good. But even if you're operating from home, the sheer act of the regimen of working one after another, or having to dog yourself to listen to weak signals, comes in handy for emergency operations, where that, you know, in point of fact, that may become the operative norm. So do consider that as well, that if contesting in general, any kind of contesting, is a useful emergency preparedness regime. It's also good for the brain. Keeps you hopping. Alrighty. My other topic was going back to the other side of the antenna topic. We're going to have we put up the A10 vertical, or A99 vertical, pardon me. But I've been meaning to have something horizontal for 10 meters as well. And so I need to get two nuts and some washers, stainless washers. I have the alpha delta feed point, but I don't know what kind of nuts those are on the little connections for the dipole antenna. So I need to get additional nuts for them, because I'm going to add in a 10 meter dipole segment in parallel with the existing 8040 trap dipole. And so, if anyone happens to know what that thread is, that would be useful. If not, I have a spare, which I'm going to take down to the Home Depot, but I think it might be instructive for everybody to know that, and be able to add a 10-meter element in parallel with the 8040 trap element to give you coverage up on 10 meters and horizontally polarized at that. Was there a station wanted to say something? Oh, but I will.
Well, Jay, with a comment before the next conclusion, I just wanted to make sure I get in there.
Okay, I got Joe and I have Jim. Jim, go ahead first. Joe, I'll get you, don't worry.
Oh, I got a call earlier today from WO2W, Gene, wondering, looking for participants in the Fairlawn run on Sunday the 1st. If anybody was interested in working that, give him a call or email. He was looking for a little bit more help trying to support that event over in Fairlawn.
What time it is, and what time we have to marshal?
I would get there around 9 o'clock, and it's at the school parking lot down by the swimming pool, same place where they gather for a number of other events, if anybody knows. Further information from Gene. NS2K.
Okay, this is where we meet for the fireworks and such?
It's in the parking lot right behind the school. Before you get to the swimming pool, the parking lot on the right side.
Yep. Good. Yeah, Gene's email ID, I think, is WB2HID at whatever, right?
I don't know if it's been switched over. It should be WO2W at ARRL.net, but HID may still work for certain, you know, in certain places.
Hey, Jim, you find your mother's cat?
My cat? No, unfortunately not.
restaurants in the neighborhood.
Boo. Probably more likely to find the foxes. But anyway. Oh, dear, I'm sorry you're missing your cat. That's not fun. That's good. So we have a public service event on Sunday in Fairlawn and contact WO2W. My guess is there's probably a link off the Fairlawn Radio Club website that might be helpful as well there. And that's a great idea to get out there and be supportive. Dress for the weather, though, boy. I'll say that right now. All right. Anybody have any follow-up on that or similar items?
K2AMI.
Tony, go.
Just wanted to see that, unfortunately, the 1st of January and the run, which occurs on the 1st of January, is on a Sunday morning. And I'm obligated on Sunday morning, so I can't make it. I've done it in other years, but I cannot adjust my schedule to accommodate them this year.
Don't they have a 5:30 mass or something or on Saturday?
They do, but I've kind of been assigned the job as a usher and a basket collector at the masses at the 11 o'clock mass.
Okay. Now we have people who are assigned things like that, and then invariably, every couple of weeks, somebody gets tapped on the shoulder to fill in to somebody who couldn't make it for whatever reason. But yeah, I understand. All good. Because I think James is supposed to lecture on Sunday. So I got to find out. But I know he can't do it. He's got to work. So I'm assuming he found somebody else to cover it. What he's been doing, just as a reference, is going to, oh Lord, I can't think of the name of the town, but just across the New York border from where he works, and goes to their 7 business on Sunday evening because he gets off at 6:45 and can make it there immediately. All right, moving onward. It's very good to support public service events and get out there. Even if it's cold and yucky, and it's going to be dry, I think, and it'll be relatively warm compared to most Januarys, but I think it's important that we actually turn out for these events when it's not convenient. As long as we can logistically do it and it's safe, I think we should really give it due consideration. That's a good thing. Alrighty. N2COJ, Mr. Joe, you wanted to say something. K2BAR, W2TTT.
QOJ, not COJ. What am I saying?
That's okay, Gordon. No problem there. Yeah, I just I don't want to take too much time on the net. First of all, thank you very much for making the net available for me, 2,500 miles away. Appreciate it very much. And while I'd like to say happy holidays to everyone on the group, which I am doing, there was a couple of voices and calls out there that I haven't heard in over 5 years as a member of the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club. So I wanted to say hello from Arizona, specifically to Bennett, KO2OK, and also to Tony, K2AMI, fellow members of the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club when I participated there for well over 14, 15 years. So hello from Joe, and again, thank you for the net. Appreciate it very much, and I'll go back in quiet mode.
Well, this is not one of our more stellar nets, but we did manage to fill most of the hour, so we'll take it from there. next week, I will have a report on the Win Radio G305E. Which was given to me as a present, and I also have some spectrum analyzer software that uses that radio, but have not gotten that to work yet. Haven't had a chance to, but did get the Win Radio to work, and it's very, very good. It really is. The software, if you're used to the Power SDR type software, it's not as nice as that by any means, but it's
as I like to call it, the Wind Radio is sort of like operating a 1970s era, early 1970s era military transceiver or receiver, with a glass, rendered in glass. So, it's got all sorts of high performance capabilities and stuff like it's, up and down frequency is done by decade up down buttons and things like that. So it's one step better than flipping thumb wheels for frequency and pushing buttons and things like that. So the front panel is rendered as a buttons and knobs and slider type of not slider buttons and knobs kind of affair. So I'm hoping someone else has some software for it other than the spectrum analyzer software. On the plus side, the receiver goes from DC to 1800 megs, and then it has a receive converter that takes you up to 3500 megs, which I have yet to test out, but I'm going to with my Wi-Fi signals in the not too distant future. So anyway, pretty much what I have is, are there any other questions, comments, confusions for the net? And, is there any other way we can be helpful? This is K2BAR, W2TTT.
QAMI would comment.
Yeah, Tony.
I'm sorry I didn't recognize Joe Sammartino, but I do remember you, Joe. Nice to hear your voice. And I had remembered way back when you said you moved out there. We're going to move out there. I hope someday we'll meet again and here in the East. I don't travel. But nice to hear you out there, and I do remember you. Thank you very much for recognizing my voice. Back to you, Joe. Back to Joe for a moment, if he's still there.
Yes, thank you, Tony. Coming in via Echolink, I have to wait for all IDs and other RF-generated things to finish before I can link up again. But thank you very much, Tony. Nice to hear you all. Hopefully we'll get some time together in some way, and if I do come up there, I'll look you up. But back over to Gordon and Net Control. This is into QOJ.
Okay, very good, Joe. Good hearing you again. Although I hear you more often on 22436. At some point we got to put a transmit PL on that repeater so that we don't have to listen to the, just the incidental squawks of electrical sources that as we drive around. I'll also get that repeater is either transmitter fixed or actually not transmitter, but the antenna fixed so that it gets full power up. It's sometimes hard to hear, but it's great to hear you on Echolink there and now Echolink here, so don't be a stranger. Feel free. Come by any time. And maybe it's time to do another Echolink session, too, getting people squared away on how to set up Echolink. And maybe we'll do that next couple of weeks. If there's interest in that, please email me at w2tango@awrl.net. So before we do anything else, is there anybody else who has a question, comment, or confusion? Please call K2BAR W2TTT. All right, well, nothing is urgent. Well, thank you, everybody, for a somewhat interesting net. A little short tonight, but that's okay. I'm not going to belabor it. I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. And hope everybody who has celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah had a blessed time as well. Godspeed all, and peace in the new year. We're going to have the one topic for next week will be what you want to do in amateur radio in the coming year that you either haven't had enough time to do, or haven't done right, or want to do better, or do something different, or whatever. Something, about amateur radio that, is your objective for the year 2012. We're going to do it after January 1. That way it doesn't get caught in the New Year's resolutions. if you say it now and leading up to New Year's, that means it'll be something you absolutely will not do next year. So if we talk about it next Thursday after the New Year, then what happens is we can talk about it in terms of how to not only that you want to do it, but how you will do it and who's going to do it with you and who's going to